Hi everyone. I'm delighted today to be joined by Niklaus Hilty, CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Credit Suisse Insurance Link Strategies for our latest video interview. Niklaus, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Steve.
And how are you doing? Everything okay there in Switzerland?
Absolutely, a new situation, but we're doing well. So we're in a
Good,
lucky
good,
position.
good. So probably good to start with talking about the situation we've been through for the last 3 months, obviously with lockdown and things. How has the pandemic sort of affected business for Credit Suisse's ILS team?
It has been definitely an effect on the business. As you know, is we run life and non-life on our platform. And when you see a pandemic coming, and this is something we saw very early on in January, I think this is generally something where we expect a significant importance for our life business. This is like a lot of the risk we have on our life business. On the non-life side, we also expected that a pandemic is going to have significant impact, of course, on the insurance industry, but also on the financial markets. And that really was very clear very early on. I think from an operational perspective, I think we are in a business which is global, which requires a lot of traveling. And also during the normal course of our lives, the catastrophes, they are not really waiting whether there is a work day or a weekend day. So our business is pretty much 24/7. And also, I think work from home is something, especially on the weekends when there are big catastrophes, we are very used to. So I think on the operational side, I can say is really not a big impact apart from traveling. On the business side, I think COVID-19 definitely has impacts.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Everybody has adapted quite quickly to the working from home, it seems, and I understand that in Switzerland, some of you will be going back to offices soon as well.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
It's positive to see things beginning to turn to back to normal. So, what's your view on how sort of ILS and reinsurance as a whole has performed during the pandemic and during the lockdown? Have you experienced any issues in the industry at all?
I think it's the if we group it a little bit, I think in on the life side, on the life ILS side, I think the pandemic when it basically started in January, or when we started to realize there is something coming up. On our side, we have like an early warning system where we look into what the new viruses and bugs around the world are. And I think around the 10th of January, we for the first time saw that one. And then on life business, you definitely have to prepare, and you can prepare. That means looking into liquidity, but also looking into whether you still can de-risk at this point in time, and also putting up some hedges, which we did for both life and non-life relative early on in the process. I think there we had a lot of, let's say, technology and models helping us on the pandemic side. But I would say so far on the life side, the impact, yes, we see some mark-to-market movements, but at the moment we believe there will be very little to no loss of notional if the pandemic stays contained in the developed countries as we see it at the moment. And from that perspective, I would say it's good, but it's far too early to say that this is over. Of course, we are in the middle of a pandemic. As you know, there can be several waves. There have been several waves in the past when these type of pandemics go around. And also the life transactions, they typically measure the mortality rates over a longer period. So maybe 1, 2 years, and that means at the moment we are in the middle of a pandemic from the life side. On the non-life side, I think the normal, I would say, catastrophe ILS market, yes, it was as expected, affected by flight to liquidity of investors. We saw on the cat bond market some selling pressure of some investors, and that was reflecting in relative strong mark-to-market losses and spreads widening. For us, that was more of an opportunity, and I think it was not too dissimilar what we saw, for example, in 2008 during the peak of the global financial market crisis, is when investors need liquidity when volatility is extremely high in financial markets. And I think then I would say ILS in general will be very, very limited in terms of impact from this pandemic. If you look at the reinsurance market, I think there's a wide spread of impacts from event cancellations, which became very early on clear, like the Tokyo Olympics and so on, and everything which was in the public domain around these events being insured. I think that was probably one of the earliest I would say information coming out where one could see that the reinsurance industry and the insurance industry is affected by it. Then definitely also on the trade credit side, I would say there are expectations that this is impacted on the travel insurance side, on then probably a little bit further out in the future. I think also there could be claims on the D&O and workers' compensation coming to the market. And then, of course, the widely discussed topic around business interruption related to property policies. And I think there, I would say insurance is definitely impacted. Reinsurance is somehow impacted, and then ILS is probably less impacted than these two segments of the overall market. So I would say for the reinsurance industry, a tough event.
No, it's certainly seems to be hitting right the way through the marketplace, and it's interesting you mention areas like trade credit, where some people in the industry are expecting really quite large losses over the next sort of year or so because they take a while to flow through. And obviously, these are the areas the losses are likely to land, seem largely areas that ILS only touches on occasionally, in very small private deals. And the business interruption thing just seems like it's set to run for quite a while, I think, before we really understand exactly how impactful that could be on the reinsurance market. And then, yes, ILS would be one sort of step further down the line, I guess, from that as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do you see as the sort of the largest impact for the ILS market and out of the impacts you've just discussed? Is it realized losses? Is it uncertainty over potential future losses related to BI, or is it the impact on investor confidence, perhaps? What do you think is the single biggest area of concern?
I think with starting with the lowest impact, I would say is the business interruption property losses, which are actually covered by pandemic covers or by property, including pandemic covers. I think this is going to be a relative, I would say, small to mid-sized type of catastrophe for the industry. So nothing to worry about at the moment. The next level of what I would say is a bit more worrisome, in your words, is definitely the some litigation which is going on. I think litigation around whether pandemic is included in property policies on the insurance side, and when I would say when there is huge activity there, and losses are floating through the insurance industry, then of course there's almost like a filter on the reinsurance and ILS side, but nevertheless that has a certain uncertainty, but also potential for further losses. And then the probably for at least from my perspective, the most worrisome were the initiatives in the US, where there were proposals for changing the law retrospectively, including business interruption into insurance contracts. I think this is something where I feel this is very problematic from a contract law perspective, and from also a perspective where you ask yourself whether you have any certainty at all what is covered or not covered under insurance. So I think this is, in my view, that brings the largest uncertainty. And I think this is also not this is not good, because it brings fundamental questions also to investors, because I think contract law is a fundamental pillar of all the businesses we are in. And that definitely raised a question mark. And then as a consequence of that, there are of course questions around side pocketing in funds. That is a logical consequence when you have large uncertainty around valuation. So I think this is something where it's a measure to treat investors in a fair way, and equally. But nobody likes them, I would say, these the side pockets. It's an operational stretch, and for investors it becomes a bit more messy to track performance and everything. So we don't like it, but it's definitely a uncertainty which came to the market, which is not necessarily good.
Yeah, and obviously that has had some effect on sort of investor confidence, I guess, to a degree. But more broadly, obviously the ILS market is performing okay through the pandemic. If you look at returns, they're actually far, far better than the majority of asset classes in general, and certainly a lot of other alternatives. So how are you seeing sort of investor demand for ILS right now? Has it bounced back from the initial sort of dent by the pandemic?
I think I would probably say it's early on, and also if you compare it with prior years, be it 2008, 2009. What I would say is when you are in a crisis, and the crisis which has implications on the financial market, we can say hopefully we are through the peak of volatility in financial markets. But during such peak phases, investors are of course very busy with most of the other asset classes, which are much more volatile. So from that perspective, absolutely correct. I think ILS was holding up very, very well, and proved again it's a true alternative investment. On the other hand, I think one should not underestimate the what it requires from investors in terms of timing. I think they probably are busy in looking for opportunities created by the volatility. They are probably reshuffling their allocations. So if you look back in history, it was always the case that the volatility really needs to fade for quite a while before investors start to reallocate to ILS. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is the case here as well, and maybe this is more towards the end of the year, for 2021. So from what we gather, I think there is definitely a appetite of investors, and especially also with the market development now. But I think people are busy with monitoring financial markets
Sure.
at the
Yeah,
moment.
which is obviously something that we often forget when we think about the ILS market is the asset class that you're involved in every day, then you forget sometimes that the rest of the investment universe that these people are dealing with is significantly larger and yeah, significantly more volatile right now. They're
Absolutely.
incredibly busy. But if we look at the state of ILS and where it's at today, I mean, we've been through two or three years of real uncertainty, losses, issues with trapped collateral, obviously, and a slight retraction in sort of capacity within the ILS market as well. But then we've just been through something which has potentially been a very, very volatile period generally for the world as a whole, and the ILS market appears to have come through it showing quite a lot of resilience, I would say. Would you agree on that?
Absolutely, and I think that's, again, I think that's I would say the main advantage of ILS as an asset class. Of course, this is a bit of a borderline event. It is definitely, as we all know, something which has significant impact on the insurance and reinsurance industry. But I definitely would say that ILS comes out very, very strong out of this period, and also I think it becomes an important capital source for the insurance industry. And personally, what I believe is I think this COVID-19 event or pandemic is going to change risk management in insurance, reinsurance companies, but also how regulator look at stress scenario, because it is a unique event. It is definitely hitting both sides of the balance sheet of insurers and reinsurers, the asset side as well as the liability or insurance side. And then I think also if you think about what is actually the problem, you could argue the pandemic risk, which is like typically mortality risk, this is something which is hardly affected by COVID-19 at the moment, at least. But many other classes of business, as I said, event cancellation, contingency, travel, liability lines like D&O and workers' comp, property with business interruption and credit we discussed. So the main problem of this COVID-19 I see is that for a lot of market participants, the assumption of decorrelation of these lines of business, they are breaking down. And it is a bit similar to World Trade Center, where many lines of business were involved with one event, from aviation to property, to life, to art, and whatever was involved in that event. And I think these are tail events which are quite tricky to manage from a risk management perspective. And I think if I would need to make an outlook, I think this event is gonna change how risk managers are looking at be it pandemic risk, but also other risks which could affect many lines of business. And to come back to your question, I think ILS can play a major role in managing these extreme tail risks where these decorrelation assumptions are breaking down, and going through this crisis in a stable way, I think could be really a very good thing for ILS to provide hedges in the future for these type of stress scenarios.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because there's certainly a lot of people are thinking that this is going to change the way businesses and the world looks at risk as a whole, which obviously usually results in more protection being purchased. But when it's a risk that can affect across the entire business spectrum, it really does require something quite sophisticated in terms of hedging, and this potentially is an opportunity for a new class of ILS product to be invented at some point in the future to help businesses going forwards.
Absolutely, and if you look at quarterly statements of the insurance and reinsurance industry, and you see some of the losses around contingency and event cancellation, losses, which in my view were the first ones, which were very obvious, and therefore they were in the first quarter reported. If you look at those retentions, in my view, they are significantly larger than sometimes retentions are on natural catastrophes. So from a reinsurance or hedging perspective, I think these things will change dramatically on what retentions of these lines of business will be, because they can be highly correlated, as we all learned now.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. So if we move on to the catastrophe bond market, obviously this is a market that has been very interesting over the last few months. Obviously, you mentioned the selling pressure earlier as investors look to cat bonds as a liquid opportunity to sell something at a reasonable price, which was very hard to find anywhere else. But obviously, activity and issuance has been actually quite strong, really, really probably stronger than many people thought, obviously helped by the maturities that were coming up. But it is the with the improvement in yields and the strong issuance and also seemingly slightly lower expected losses coming through as well, and maybe slightly better terms. Is this looking more attractive to Credit Suisse ILS right now?
Definitely much more attractive. And I think if you look at the cat bond market, I think the cat bond market as a whole performed pretty well in 2017 around the catastrophes. In 2018, around the typhoon in Japan, again, performed on a relative basis quite well. Of course, you could argue there's not that much of typhoon risk in the market. But nevertheless, I think, let's say margin increases in the cat bond market were therefore probably not that strong, because there were not that much losses over this 2 year period. And I think now where the market really seems to change, and we seem rapidly to move towards a hard market, the cat bond market is definitely following. And I think for us, I have to say, is not only when these cat bonds came to the market with a discount where they were very attractive, of course, if you like these bonds, but also on a fundamental basis, as you say, is they are cleaner, better structured again, and pricing now is really getting very attractive for some of them. So from our perspective, the ratio of cat bonds which come to the market, which are really attractive, is now much higher than, for example, 1, 2, or 3 years ago. And I think this is a very positive development. And I think it also shows for the reinsurance industry that when, for example, maybe the retro market, the traditional retro market, is somehow constrained from a volume perspective, there are alternatives. There is the cat bond market in size, and I think this is all we wanted, and that's the purpose why this market actually started. And I think from that perspective, it again, as you mentioned earlier, it's exactly what makes it a very valuable participant in the overall market, the ILS and the cat bond market. So I think it's turns out to be a very positive thing to have this
Yeah,
option.
no, I think it will be interesting, the cat bond market, over the coming year or so, because I know new sponsors are looking as well, which I think the higher rates in reinsurance generally are also going to push people to look at the alternatives a bit more closely, perhaps, which is good. So more broadly on reinsurance as a whole, we've just been through the June renewals, obviously with a focus on Florida, and rates have increased much more significantly than we've seen in recent years, and people seem to be a lot happier with where rates are going now. Can you talk us through your view on sort of the renewal dynamics? Obviously, we still have the July 1st to come as well.
I think you mentioned especially Florida, where we had two major losses over the last 3 years in 2017 and 2018 with Irma and with Michael. These losses also somehow had a very problematic law scrape associated, at least Irma, to a very large degree, and also raised the question of social inflation and even sustainability of this market, the way it works. And I think the market reaction, which was supposed to be taking place in 2018, following 2017, didn't really happen because there was too much capital coming back to the market. In 2019, so last year, we started to see a good development because it was overdue. But still, I mean, the reinsurance industry is very strongly capitalized. So maybe that was not enough to really drive the premiums to a level where they should be. And I think now with let's say the history of the last 3 years, which still had significant losses on the catastrophe side, and with COVID-19, where one reinsurer I would like to cite was saying that this was already the hurricane in the first quarter. So I think that changed, of course, the risk appetite from a reinsurance perspective, and in the same time, very, very clear that this marketplace has to adapt and premiums need to go up. But not only premiums, and I think one of the most positive things is also the structures, which are now much cleaner, going away from the cascading structures. So I have to say is the last couple of weeks were the most positive weeks from a trading perspective for a very long time. I have to say is it goes definitely back to levels in 2012, 2011, or even maybe further back. And I think that was extremely promising and very good. Before that, I have to say also the typhoon renewal in Japan on 1st of April was extremely good. And again, that is a long due correction. And I think things are definitely now moving in a very good way. But also we have to say is it was a very long soft market, and it has to go to these
No, it's
levels.
interesting you mentioned 2011 because that's really where sort of the ILS market began to grow. And obviously, the ILS market now is almost as big as it's ever been, although slightly dented still by previous years of losses. But now we've seen rates really recover quite significantly. And it's really it. I think this must be down to an adjustment in risk appetite and adjustment to the risk perception, and now suddenly the market has realized that it's effectively there's been risk underpriced for a number of years now. So do you think this is going to continue? Do you think we'll see rate firming through obviously January 2021? Everyone's forecasting it's going to be continuing, maybe not at the same degree, but then beyond that, do you think we could see further rate improvements at June 2021, for example?
I think in the end it really depends on how the overall economy is developing, how also other asset classes are developing, be it on the credit side, be it on the equity side, and my view is I'm maybe not the biggest optimist. I think COVID-19 will keep us busy longer than we all want. On the other hand, I think we have seen that it can be controlled also without vaccine. And then what we saw a extreme rebound of financial markets and especially equity, thanks to significant reaction of the governments and the national banks. So from that perspective, I think this, I would say the crisis was really extremely well managed so far, which could point towards that it is at least stable. I think, however, there definitely will have a longer lasting effect on the overall economy. And that is important because in the end, that has a huge effect on the on the investment returns and asset side of the insurers and reinsurers, and ultimately on the risk appetite. And then on the other hand, as I mentioned earlier, I think there are definitely some big question marks around tail risk management, which need to be addressed, and I'm sure regulators will push for that as well, that stress scenarios in the future are very well captured. And I think this gives a healthy, I'm sure, a healthy outlook when it comes to the buying demand. And on the supply demand, I think on the supply demand, I would say if we see too much capital raising, like we saw over the last probably 2 weeks now, and I would say there are two classes of capital raising. One might be more associated with COVID-19 negative P&L impact, so basically to recapitalize. I think this is something we've seen a little bit, but that's maybe already now more than 2 weeks ago. But the last 2 weeks, in my view, were more capitalizing reinsurance companies and new ventures, private equity, pushing into the market with the view that we are going to see a hard market. And look, Steve, this is a very thin walk. Is we don't know how much capital will be destructed by COVID-19 ultimately. There are a lot of question marks, and as I said earlier, there might be even some longer tail classes involved. So this is something which will go well into 2021 and 22. So we don't know exactly how much demand for new capital is there. And my fear is really that we end up having too much capital coming in too quickly, a little bit like after 2017. And my fear is that in June we were seeing a hard market only for a week, and then we have seven soft market years again ahead of us. I don't think at the moment it looks like this, but it's definitely something where I think all the participants need to be very, very respectful of that. I think we need higher premium levels, if you look at these levels over the cycle, and I think it would not be disciplined to come in with too much
Yeah,
capital.
no, it's interesting because, as you said, we don't yet know how much existing capital is going to be destroyed and pushed out of the market by losses. And yet we're seeing enough come back in that it's far more than the increased demand that we see so far. And a lot of the ventures that are being launched seemingly aren't a new way of doing business. They're just almost a repeat of a company that's gone before. So that is just going to incrementally add to capacity in the industry. And naturally, as we've seen, rates will struggle to hold up, I would have thought, under that scenario. Yeah,
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
I guess let's begin to wrap up now because I'm taking up a lot of your time today. So where do you see sort of opportunities going forwards for Credit Suisse ILS, and what's your outlook? And also what would you say to investors who are looking at the ILS asset class right now?
I think one of the, let's say, most interesting areas, I think if we don't see notional losses from this pandemic on the life side, I think this is a very interesting angle to ILS because it's a little bit like the young brother or young sister to the non-life side. And I think if you look at returns, they have been very stable since at least we are in that business since 2009. Very stable. I personally think there will be a repricing in this market as well. There will be a significant spread widening. The reason for that is simple. I think people they learn from what's going on. So, for example, if you look at pandemic risk a century ago, where there was hardly any traveling, population density was very low, and today, where a virus can spread within days, wherever it emerges, we also saw that with the swine flu back in 2009. This traveled very quickly around the world. So I think there's, on one hand side, I would say a rethinking around pandemic risk and probabilities of that. As I said earlier, everybody understands now that has wide-reaching impact on risk management and P&L and capital. And I think this is why the life market, I really see there will be strong demand and there will be very attractive returns going forward. But also, and I think this is probably the biggest opportunity I see, is I think it's maybe not this very traditional market where everything is driven, as we discussed, by demand and supply and capital flowing in and this very cyclical market. But I think this event really is changing risk management of the financial market industry. And I personally believe that we as an ILS industry can add very good hedges for risk managers with the capital. And I think that is really where I see the biggest opportunity. And it goes, as you also mentioned a little bit, it goes also a bit more in a new direction, where I personally believe there is demand, because we saw it twice this century already, and it's not that old, is things can be highly correlated, and I think there need to be hedges in
Well, that's really
place.
interesting, and a very positive way to wrap up,
Yeah.
really.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you a lot for your time today, Nicholas. It was a really interesting discussion. I wish you well, and good luck getting back
Yeah.
to the office in the coming weeks as well. And I hope to catch up with you in person soon.
Absolutely, and thank to you, and stay healthy, and looking very much forward to seeing
Thanks.
you
Bye-bye.
in person. Thank you.